You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
It is the 15th of July. We are almost halfway past the month of July, but the news turns on. Here's hoping that you all had a good weekend. Certainly, the Lal Street has had a fairly good day today. Will the trend continue over the course of the week or not? We will, of course, keep you updated. But the story of this podcast is a whole different one. It is stories of the day. All that took place in the country and abroad is what I bring to you in about 20-25 minutes tops. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Stories of the Day.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
We start with the DHFL crisis, of course. M. Saraswathy, reporting for Money Control, says that amid the financial crisis at Divan Housing Finance, the future of its life and general insurance arms remain uncertain. While the process for selling its stake in DHFL Pramerica Life Insurance is underway, its general insurance arm, that is DHFL General Insurance, which is less than 2 years old, has also been put on the block. Sources said that DHFL has not yet finalized a buyer for its life insurance arm, and the company wants to exit all non-core investments to generate liquidity. A stake sale in its non-life arm is also on the anvil. DHFL holds 51% in its life insurance arm and 100% in its general insurance arm through Vadhavan Global Capital. From one crisis to another, ILNFS has said today that it has entered into an agreement with secured lenders of three group entities that have a debt burden of 5,071 crore rupees as part of the resolution process. Binding term sheet has been signed with secured lenders of three entities, that is Moradabad Bareilly Expressway, Jharkhand Road Projects and West Gujarat Expressway. This move is in line with the current management's efforts to monetize assets and would also help in repaying debt to mutual funds. A release said, and I quote, "Total debt across these three entities is approximately 5,071 crore rupees, that is 3,242 crores from secured lenders and the rest from unsecured lenders." It would seem like I only talk about frauds these days. JSW Steel has told the NCLT today that the company is not backing out from the ongoing resolution process of Bhushan Power and Steel, despite reports of alleged fraud by its former promoters. As we know, Allahabad Bank and PNB have come forward with these allegations. During the proceedings in the NCLT, counsel appearing for JSW Steel informed the tribunal that it was anxious about these alleged fraud reports and needs to know what is going on inside Bhushan Power. A two-member NCLT bench headed by President Justice M. Kumar asked the resolution professional of BPSL, that is Bhushan Power, to hand over a copy of the forensic report to JSW Steel. NCLT said that alleged fraud reports will not have any impact on the insolvency resolution process and JSW's resolution plan for BPSL. Asia is on track to top 50% of global GDP by 2040 and drive 40% of the world's consumption. This, according to a McKinsey Global Institute discussion paper called Asia's Future is Now, that was released today. Describing emerging Asia's soaring consumption and its integration into global flows of trade, capital, talent, and innovation as one of the most dramatic developments of the past 30 years, the report said that in the decades ahead, Asia's economies would go from participating in these flows to determining their shape and direction. It added that in many areas, from the internet to trade and luxury goods, they already were. The question is no longer how quickly Asia will rise, it is how Asia will lead, it went on to say. In the ongoing saga at IndiGo, Interglobe Enterprises has said it underwrote the financial risk of airline IndiGo, while the carrier's co-founder Rakesh Gangwal capped his risk at an equity investment of 15 crore rupees, that's about $2.2 million. Interglobe, which is a conglomerate owned by another of IndiGo's founders, that is Rahul Bhatia, said its aggregate financial exposure was over 11 billion rupees and the risk ratio between Interglobe and Gangwal peaked at 80:1, according to one emailed statement. A dispute between these two founders is, of course, deepening and has caused a lot of uncertainty in the markets. Bloomberg has reported that India and Russia have agreed on a new payment method through their national currencies for multi-billion dollar defense deals in a bid to avoid risks created by the US threat of sanctions and banking restrictions. This arrangement would enable India to pay the first installment soon for two warships that Russia is building for the Indian Navy. Two people familiar with the matter have said. Defense contracts will be settled in rubles and rupees under a payment agreement reached by the central banks of Russia and India, according to this person. While the new mechanism potentially opens the way for releasing billions of dollars in contract payments to Russia, it may still be dependent on India winning agreement from President Trump not to impose sanctions in retaliation. Russia has, of course, faced a struggle to maintain sales by its strategic defense sector, which totaled $19 billion last year, partly because of U.S. sanctions, which threaten anyone who buys Russian weapons. Even though the U.S. has applied those only once so far, that was against China, this fear has cast a bit of a gloom over Russia's defense sector export business. The world's second largest arms exporter after the US, Russia, suffered a 17% drop in foreign weapons deals from 2014 to 2018 amid declining purchases by India and Venezuela, according to one report. Business Standard has reported that a leaked UN report shows that climate change could cause 29% spike in cereal prices. Business Standard reviewed a leaked copy of the draft report sent to the governments of 197 countries. The report warns that as the global temperatures rise, the stress on land resources and its productivity is set to rise. The report by the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is called IPCC Special Report on Climate Change, Desertification, etc. This report will be put before all member countries of the UN Framework Convention, and once it gets their stamp of approval, it will be made public on the 8th of August. But the takeaway from this is that climate change could cause 29% spike in cereal prices. There are lots of problems plaguing India's economy now. Slowing economic growth, water shortage and regulatory hurdles have taken its business sentiment in June to the lowest level in 3 years. This according to a survey by market research firm IHS Market, which was released today. The aggregate of private sector companies forecasting output growth during this year fell to plus 15% in June from positive 18% in February. The level was earlier hit 3 years ago, its lowest since data became available in 2009, according to this report, as reviewed by Reuters. Hopes of a pro-business government and policies and a better financial flow continue to underpin optimism towards output and profitability growth in the year ahead, said principal economist Pollyann de Lima. In a roundup of other big business headlines today, DGCA has asked 6 airports to have a disabled aircraft recovery kit by next March. I told you already about 3 ILNFS group entities enter into a pact with secure lenders. The rupee rose by 15 paise to close at 68.54 against the dollar. More than 15 lakh crore rupees returned from circulation post-demonetization. There is also news reports emerging that Shriram Transport plans to raise up to 10,000 crore rupees via public issuance of bonds, and Infosys Foundation has committed 1.5 crore rupees for second Arohan Social. And what else? Vegetable oil imports are up 6% at 11.05 lakh tons in June on higher shipment of palm oil. In other news from across the country, a bill to give broader powers to the NIA, that is the National Investigation Agency, which is India's anti-terrorism organization, set the stage for what was a stormy debate in Parliament. Home Minister Amit Shah and Asaduddin Owaisi engaged in a rather bitter face-off. Mr. Owaisi said, and I quote, "You cannot scare us," as Amit Shah wagged a finger at him, asking him to listen to a BJP lawmaker. The NIA bill, which gives the agency powers to probe cyber crimes, human trafficking and attacks on Indians on foreign soil, was passed by the Lok Sabha thanks to the government's comfortable majority. It will need to be passed by the Rajya Sabha, and then President Ramnath Kovind has to look at it. The opposition contended that the law would make India a police state and that it was susceptible to misuse, but the government assured that such a situation would not arise. Mr. Owaisi went on to say in the House of Parliament, "What powers are you giving to NIA officer when you send him abroad to investigate someone? Don't compare us to US and Israel and intrude on other people's sovereignty. Also, you cannot have such a vague definition of national interests in a bill." The duel between Mr. Shah and Mr. Owaisi continued along those lines. The torturing Congress JDS coalition government in Karnataka, led by Kumaraswamy, will face the floor test in the assembly on the 18th of July, which would end suspense over the numbers game that has been triggered by a raft of resignations by the ruling coalition MLAs. As the political turmoil lingered on, with the ruling coalition making frenetic efforts to win back these rebel MLAs who have pushed it to the brink of collapse, Assembly Speaker Ramesh Kumar today announced the confidence motion sought to be moved by Kumaraswamy would be taken up at 11 a.m. on the 18th of July. The date has been fixed after consulting both the opposition and ruling coalition leaders at the BAC meeting, that is the Business Advisory Committee meeting, the Speaker said. BJP has maintained that the government had been reduced to a minority, with the 16 coalition MLAs resigning their assembly membership and therefore opposed conduct of house business till the trust vote. So, where do the numbers stand as of now? As many as 16 MLAs, 13 from Congress and 3 from JDS, have resigned, and 2 independents have also resigned. That takes the number to 18 MLAs that have gone missing. With the support of the 2 independents, BJP has 107 MLAs in the 224-member house. The halfway mark there is 113. The ruling coalition's total strength is 116 plus the speaker. Congress has 78, JDS has 37, and BSP has 1. And if the resignations of those 16 MLAs are accepted, the coalition's tally will be reduced to 100. In addition to the 2 nail-biting finishes we saw in both tennis and cricket, what we were also expecting was the launch of Chandrayaan 2. And as I'm certain you've heard, it has been called off due to a technical snag. A technical snag was observed in launch vehicle system. As a measure of abundant precaution, Chandrayaan 2 launch has been called off for today. Revised launch date will be announced later, said ISRO in a tweet. This ambitious second lunar mission of India, Chandrayaan 2, suffered a jolt in the early hours of the 15th of July. ISRO, which aims to touch down on the south pole of the moon, where in fact no country has gone, said the revised date will be announced shortly. India news done. Let's start with financial markets elsewhere. As usual, we start with US stock futures, and they are modestly higher this morning after a record-setting week for the Dow, S&P 500 and Nasdaq. The S&P 500 rose for 4 straight days, and its record Friday close was also its first finish over the 3,000 mark. The Dow was riding a 3-day winning streak ahead of Monday's session today. The Nasdaq has been up in 3 of the past 4 sessions. The Dow and Nasdaq also closed at records on Friday. As one US economic report is out today, the New York Fed is issuing its July Empire State Manufacturing Index. Citigroup is out with its quarterly earnings this morning, which is the first of the major financial institutions reporting this week. Dow transportation component J.B. Hunt is also out with quarterly results after today's closing bell. Meanwhile, China has released second quarter figures today showing that its economy has slowed to 6.2%, which, by the way, is the weakest rate in about 27 years. Why? The country's trade war with the United States is taking its toll. Many outside experts have expressed skepticism about the truthfulness of China's GDP report, saying that the government there may be putting in a floor. So, this according to a report on CNBC. The wildly swinging fortunes of Bitcoin continue to be wildly swinging. Bitcoin has fallen sharply this morning, down 10% to 10,175 before slightly recovering. The reason, of course, is not immediately clear, but it happened after President Trump said last week, via Twitter, obviously, that he was not a fan of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, which are not money and whose value is highly volatile and based on thin air. This has also put in jeopardy the future of Facebook's Libra. In tech giant news, let's start with Google. Billionaire investor Peter Thiel has said that the FBI and the CIA should investigate if Google has been infiltrated by Chinese intelligence. Thiel blasted Google for its work in China, saying that the search engine giant was, quote, engaged in the seemingly treasonous decision to work with the Chinese military and not with the US military. Another tech giant, Facebook, is reportedly close to settling with the Federal Trade Commission, that is FTC, by paying a fine. And how much? $5 billion. The FTC has been conducting a probe of Facebook's privacy practices. FTC commissioners broke along party lines 3-2, with the GOP majority lining up to support the pact, while Democratic commissioners objected. This according to a report on Wall Street Journal. Turning to a Chinese tech giant now, Huawei is planning to lay off hundreds of employees in America as it is still struggling with a blacklist imposed by the Trump administration over national security concerns. These layoffs are reportedly expected to hit Huawei's U.S. development subsidiary FutureY, which employs 850 people in labs throughout the United States. So, more people losing jobs. First, it was Deutsche Bank's wave of people losing jobs in China, and now Huawei, to a lesser degree, I suppose, laying off people. In some Boeing news, Boeing 737 MAX could remain grounded into 2020, this according to government and industry officials who spoke to the Wall Street Journal. Following United and Southwest Airlines, American Airlines extending its cancellations of flights involving the jet into early November. These are the only 3 US airlines with 737 MAX jets in their fleets. More American giant news. Amazon has kicked off its first 48-hour Prime Day run today. The retail giant said last year's day of deals and discounts was its biggest yet, as it sold 100 million products. Having those extra hours this year will likely end in even better results. After all, people do not want to be left out, says CNBC. And what's happening in Trump world? As usual, Trump has told aides and allies that he is considering removing Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross after the Supreme Court defeat on adding a citizenship question to the census. This according to NBC News. The president and Wilbur Ross have a long personal relationship, but some officials expect a departure as soon as this summer. The Census Bureau, by the way, falls under the Commerce Department. And the Trump administration has been told that the citizenship question cannot be added in the 2020 census, according to the Supreme Court ruling. Meanwhile, Trump has told Democratic Congresswomen, women of color, that they should return to the countries they came from, taking swipes at Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib, who call themselves the Squad, all of them women of color, and three of them were in fact born in the United States. This is patently a racist statement, and many people have come out in opposition of the statement, with several frontrunners in the Democratic presidential nominee race coming out and saying it's a racist tweet from a racist president. Ilhan Omar was born in Somalia and became a naturalized citizen when she moved to the United States as a child. The other three women that I spoke about were in fact born in the United States. The question therefore is, if you're not white, are you not American? This seems to be the raging debate all over the United States today. It's going to be a busy week of earnings this week. Nearly 60 companies on the S&P 500, including some major banks, will be reporting their results this week, starting, of course, with Citigroup, like I said earlier. The bank's shares have surged nearly 40% this year. Investors will be looking for signs of how robust international business is amid the ongoing trade war between the United States and China. Police have fought protesters in Hong Kong in the sixth consecutive week of protests, which of course began in opposition to the much maligned extradition bill. A peaceful rally in the suburban district of Sha Tin on Sunday ended in clashes with police in a luxury shopping mall. In the same vein, clashes also broke out in Paris. Bastille Day celebrations, attended by important European Union leaders, including Emmanuel Macron and Angela Merkel, were of course marred by violence between anti-government protesters and the police. Across the pond from the United States, the final candidates to be Britain's next prime minister, first to be the head of the Conservative Party and therefore Britain's next prime minister, that is Jeremy Hunt and Boris Johnson, will face off against each other for the second time in a showdown, this time organized by the tabloid The Sun. Boris Johnson, I imagine, will feel perfectly at home in a debate that is moderated by The Sun. Returning to the United States, we have been following the Jeffrey Epstein case, who has of course been accused of running a sex trafficking ring in addition to molesting a lot of underage girls. This American financier, apparently whose finances have been obtained via dubious resources and means, that is of course besides the point. The point is that this financier is facing charges of sex trafficking of minors and is now seeking to use his home as well as his private jet as collateral for bail. Federal prosecutors have accused Epstein of witness tampering and want this bail denied. As usual, a quick tech roundup. YouTube is struggling with controversy, as we know, but you know what else is surging in popularity? TikTok. This according to BuzzFeed News. The VidCon digital video conference has focused on YouTube creators and their fans, but last week's 10th annual gathering of this VidCon digital video conference reflected some changes as well as threats for YouTube. YouTube has been criticized for mishandling content on its platform related to a range of topics like anti-vax misinformation, that is anti-vaxxers, online harassment, white nationalism, conspiracy theories. We've been speaking about this for a long time now, so YouTube has been beset with these problems. Many conversations at this year's event centered on the health of YouTube as a platform and the experiences of creators with regards to harassment and exploitation. So, TikTok, some people are saying, is maybe the platform to create the next generation of video superstars. The enthusiasm of the millions of young fans for TikTok is a sign of their shifting allegiance from YouTube to a new platform, reports BuzzFeed News. Engadget has reported that 7 million students' names, emails, ages, and other personal information were exposed by a misconfigured online education platform called K12.com, which is used by more than 1,000 school districts across the United States. Engadget reported that the information was available online for more than a week before it was fixed, although it's uncertain if any bad actors were aware of the breach and have accessed this information. Well, those are some of the big stories from around the world. Let's find out some stories that have attracted my attention. If you know of pet therapy, that is, you know, cuddling dogs will make you feel better, well, move over dogs. It's going to be time for therapy cows. The New York Times has reported over the weekend that this trend is catching on. For about $75 an hour, you can get to cuddle a cow. Cow cuddling invites interaction with the farm animals via brushing, petting, or heartfelt chats with cows. The experience is similar to equine therapy, with one difference. Horses tend to stand, but cows spontaneously lie down in the grass while chewing their cud, and that allows humans to get even more up close and personal by joining on the ground and offering warm embrace. This is catching on in the United States. You've all heard of Jack the Ripper. There is now a book ripper in the United Kingdom. A literary vandal is stalking the streets of Herne Bay in Kent. And what is he doing? He's ripping pages in half in dozens of books in a charity shop and library before replacing them on shelves. This news coming out of the United Kingdom. Jack the Ripper, move on. Now we have the book ripper. If you've been wondering if prehistoric man, and indeed the closest relation we had, that is the Neanderthals, were also majority right-handed, you are right. One study has shown that at least 85% of the Neanderthal tools appear to be made for a user whose right side was dominant. So, the more things change, the more they tend to remain the same. Before I let you go, a quick look at the final tally on the last street. The BSE Sensex rose 160 points to close at 38,896, while the Nifty 50 ended 35 points higher at 11,588 on Monday. The index did reclaim 11,600 in today's trade, but selling pressure at higher levels pulled the index lower. The BSE IT index rose 3.5%, thanks, of course, to the 7% rally we saw in Infosys. Well, that's it. Those were the stories I thought very important to convey to you. This is, of course, the 15th of July, 2019. I will see you first thing in the morning tomorrow with a morning walk down Dalal Street as well as stock picks of the day. In the meanwhile, do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.